All right. Call this meeting of the City of Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission for June 14th, 2023 to order. And we'll begin the meeting by acknowledging that we're holding the meeting on the traditional land of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. We'll do a roll call. Let's see here. First on the screen in front of me, we have Commissioners Hilsenbecker, Russo, Sullivan, McQuaid. And in the room, we have Commissioners Cade, Airston, and Bartoy. Do we have any public comment, Mr. McKnight?
Chair, we had no public comment.
We had no public comments. And do we have any objections with adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Seeing, hearing no objections, the consent agenda is adopted. Excusal of absences. I believe we have one excusal this evening. It was Commissioner Zeno. Okay. And no minutes or administrative reviews. So we'll move right forward into the design review. Mr. Sullivan, the Willamette Casket Building, you can come to the table and there's a staff report.
I will give a staff report, Mr. Chair. So 2916 to 2926 South Steel Street, the Willamette Casket Building is a masonry building constructed in three distinct phases over the course of its history. The principal addition, a mid-rise four-story building constructed in 1907, is an unreinforced brick masonry industrial building that includes a two-story boiler room or steam plant wing. This is a Frederick Heath designed portion from 1907, later phases added to the footprint, creating the irregular shape plan that we see today. Proximity to the railroad tracks also shaped the complex over time. Some of the character defining features include the three projections from the principal building, the boiler stack, the enclosed exterior staircase, and the exterior freight elevator. This is currently pending Landmarks designation. The Landmarks Commission held its public hearing and made a recommendation to City Council, so we're just looking for our City Council date. Typically, when buildings are proposed for landmark status, we treat them as if they are on the register until that process is concluded one way or the other. The other thing is that this project will be going for a special tax valuation as well. And so it's important that the property ownership have some sense of the Landmarks Commission's feelings about things like windows, which is up to date. So the proposed project scope includes removal of the plywood and non-historic sashes currently installed in the historic window openings on the first and second stories, to be replaced by clad window assemblies. I don't know, Paige, if there's a, if you can pull up some of the exterior shots of the building further down in the application. Almost all historic windows currently shown have been removed, and the window openings feature plywood infill and non-historic aluminum sashes. The design mullion pattern and color of the new windows is intended to reference the original design that is present in two existing examples in the building, as well as in historic photos and documents. And there are also, Michael Sullivan brought some additional photographs as well that are, I think those are posted as, for folks that are online, those are posted on the LPC agenda as a supplemental. And we also have at the table here, additional photographs showing some of the, I think this is a mock-up from the inside of some of the sample installations that show the three sashes with the bottom tilt out. Historic windows were, I think, like tilt out triple track windows, I think is what they were. So this is a similar configuration to what was there, a little bit different visually, but quite close, and certainly a lot closer than what exists on the building with the plywood infill panels and aluminum slider windows. The staff recommends that the Secretary of the Interior Standards number 2, the historic character of property shall be retained and preserved. The removal of historic materials or alteration of features and spaces that characterize the property should be avoided. And number 6, deteriorated historic features shall be repaired rather than replaced, and where the severity of the deterioration requires replacement of a distinctive feature, the new shall match the old design, color, texture, and other visual qualities and work possible materials. Staff's analysis, the Willamette Casket Building is almost a locally listed landmark structure. such exterior work is subject to Landmarks Commission review pursuant to TMC 1305.040. Secondly, the proposed removal of plywood non-historic sashes in the first and second windows will not affect historic materials, meeting standard number 2. 3, the proposed work will use existing window openings as they are with no enlargement or new openings. 4, the proposed new clad window assemblies are visually similar to the historic window configuration and patterning, thus appearing to meet standard number 6. And staff recommends approval of the application as it was submitted. Up on screen there, you can see the two installed windows as they look now. And staff has included a sample approval and decision language in the staff report. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. McKnight. Mr. Sullivan, anything to add? I see you have
Well, Ruben probably covered it I might as well give you a deep dive into the window that was picked for the project. First of all, we're in for, we did our pre-app and we're, Ms. Leatherman is the architect of the project. So we're in for permit right now. So I know we're asking for approval ahead of the formal designation, but as Ruben mentioned, we're wanting a special evaluation. So it's starting to look like, based on cost, the project will also qualify for federal tax credits. These units are pretty close to 10 grand a piece, and there's about 132 that's gone in as part of the project. And then, although this is an interior element, it doesn't necessarily affect the review by Landmarks. Following the completion of the building in 1907, when Gregory Furniture went in, the 12-foot ceiling between the floor, the second floor, and the underside of the third floor, they added a center floor. They added a floor in between that came all the way up, and that floor ran right up into the middle of the window opening, into the masonry opening, and into the brick. And that was the time where on that level they took the windows out. So in order to get to this project, what's happening is Mike is dividing those units into basically bays that are two openings wide, and there will be a double-loaded corridor down the middle of the building, and then there will be maker spaces, which are light manufacturing spaces on each side. The floor, the mid floor, is going to be cut back to the first row of columns, so there'll be a loft in each unit. Half of the area will be in loft, and I wish we could get the pictures I sent on and kind of see the cutaway in the mock-up area. Those the cutaway that will, so it allows the windows to be fully, you know, to illuminate that entire front section of each unit. Yeah, you can see the way it will be. This is the view from the loft level, looking down at the windows. So this is the wood window we're using. It's a aluminum clad wood window, very much similar to what has been approved at UWT. And on Mike Bartlett's other buildings down there, the three blocks building is the same window from Sierra Pacific. It's largely conifer wood. It's got some finished wood on the inside that's maple. And here's the color sample. I stuck this sample against, there are a handful of original windows still in the building with original paint. And they got layers of paint on them, and the paint is badly oxidized, but this was the closest we felt we could come. So this will be the exterior color on the windows, and then it will be wood on the inside, as you see. As Ruben mentioned, the original windows had three hoppers, basically. On these windows, the center pane will be, the center unit will be fixed, and there'll be a hopper at the top that you can reach with a, you know, the old crank gizmo. And then the bottom one will just be a hand opening. And there's, I think I included a picture of art there. Right now, the openings, all the openings that are getting windows are currently have no window in them. There's a little crown header piece that you can kind of see that does the fill between the top of the window and the arch, the masonry arch. In some cases, those, we're going to need to look at the condition of those. We may do some, have to replace some of those, but we'll do it in wood. And we'll, it's a simple fix. So there's no ornament or anything on them. And then those will be painted to match the windows on the outside. We're not doing any masonry work on the sills, even though there's some deterioration on some of the of the sills. They're sandstone, and but we're not going to do any work there. The windows are being custom made to fit the openings. It's a uniform size, and we're using they're a tight fit into the masonry, and then we'll just use a sealer on the inside. And that's kind of it. So it will go, as you can see from the drawings, they'll go all the way around the ground floor. Currently, there are artist studios and a golf shoe company is in the ground floor, and they'll stay there. And then on the upper level, we've got a couple other artist studios, and then the rest of it will be set up and leased out for maker space for artists and small manufacturing creative types. They're not huge units, you know, they're not big enough for heavy machinery or a carpentry shop or anything, but they will have 220 power and modern mechanical HVAC and water. We are maybe taking more deeply than we need to go, but we didn't want to trigger a change of use in the building. So the units are configured as a loft unit would be, residential loft unit, but right now they don't have bathrooms. They have water and sinks to them, and they have a waistline coming out of them. But the shared bathrooms are spaced off the corridor, the center-loaded corridor. But there is, you know, there is water and waistlines out of each unit, and everything's sprinkled. So.
Any questions or comments from the commission? Commissioner Helsenbaker?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Michael, for all of the information. That was great. I'm curious what the plans are for those handful of original windows that are still left that you said are elsewhere in the building, not installed currently.
Well, they'll be retained. They're single pane and they're in pretty rough shape. So I don't see them being usable back in the openings anywhere. But I suppose on the upper two levels where there are tenants now that don't have any daylight, that if somebody wanted to put one of those other windows back in, we could probably do it. We could use them on a temporary basis to fill an opening if somebody wanted light. I have a feeling the other people in the building are going to get really jealous fast when they see how luminous these floors are. So I want to share a little preservation treasure discovery with you guys that I hope you appreciate. I'm excited about it because it just happened yesterday. And I'm glad Paige has this slide up. But we have been looking at these, at the floor levels in there. This floor was added by Gregory Furniture when they, to get more floor area for their furniture making. And it's a, as you can kind of see on the, there on the far left of the picture, you can see there's 2x10 joists supporting car decking on top, which is 2-inch thick kind of car decking. And it's all beat up on the deck surface. So I walked by it a million times. You can kind of see the angle set car decking the top of the deck there on the right-hand side. We've been walking by it all the time. Well, when they cut this piece out, we finally got a look at a section through the wood. And it looked really funny to me yesterday when I was in there taking the pictures. We got down underneath and looked at it. This is 2-inch thick, 6-inch wide boards that are 8 to 10 feet long. It's all Honduran mahogany. So the all that floor car decking is mahogany, furniture grade mahogany. So it's, you know, $25, $30 a board foot right now for boat builders and furniture makers. So it's, you know, in 1915, 1920, they were probably bringing in shiploads full of hardwoods anyway. But for us today, it's, you know, it's like, you know, winning the lottery kind of. So anyway.
Any other questions?
I had a second question. In the packet, the architectural drawings showed new windows in place on the first two floors. I assume your plan is to do all of the window openings, right?
No, we're going to just do, right now, we're just doing the first two floors. So, Mike, we looked at other kinds of materials. We probably could have done the whole building if we had used vinyl or something, but Mike really felt strongly about wanting to stay with wood. Each one of these window units is pretty close to $10,000 each. There's about 130 of them being done on the first two floors. So I think that was the count. Anyway, it's over $1 million just for this first two floors. So Mike has some property. The upper two floors are currently under leases that are going to be expiring in the next 2 to 5 years or so. And so he wants to try the idea of marketing, or I mean, of seeing how maker spaces go right now. And we don't want to do anything that changes the use in the building and triggers seismic and a whole raft of other code upgrades. So right now, this is what we can do with the funds. And actually, it's enough money, it's enough of an investment to qualify for special valuation, of course, but perhaps even federal tax credits. And we are doing a National Register nomination on the building too.
So the upper two floors, the coverings that are on them now are kind of the rough plywood, is that right?
Yep.
Are those in pretty good condition from the elements and in the meantime?
Yeah, they're okay. The plywood looks like heck on the outside, especially on the south side, because that's the weather side. But actually, there's additional layers on the inside, depending on which of the tenant spaces there is. So for now, yeah, the upper two floors are going to be as they are.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any other questions? Comments?
I've got a question. Is this image, is this an original window still in the building, or is this later one? It looks like this is actually a
that's an original window in the building. Yeah.
Is it?
I think it is. That Ruben took that picture.
Looks pretty
original. Yeah, that's my head. Yes, that's an original.
Yeah. And that's on the ground floor on the hidden side. So it that's area. Yeah, that's that window, the few windows we have, that's the best of the ones we have, period.
Yeah.
And that one's still in. We have a stack of them. There's probably 10 of them that are in the building, mm-hmm. and they aren't in that good a condition.
Yeah, yeah.
So
is this the only one that's still installed?
No. There's on the ground floor below level, there's probably 4 or 5 still in the building. But some of they're in various states. Some of them, the all the mullions are stripped out, and there's just a panel put in the sash.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And almost none of them have original glass. So
when we walked, Susan and I walked around the building to get a better sense of it a while ago, and the two that were there's two that are right around this location here. Those are the ones that are visually obvious, I think. The other one, I mean, we didn't see a whole lot else that jumped out at us because we were actually doing that. We're like, hey, look, there's older window, original window here. But you know, there's not a ton of like evident window fabric left in the building besides these, and you know, probably some others here and there, but.
In the staff report, it doesn't mention replacing original windows. Are you leaving these ones, or are these also being replaced?
Those on the ground floor are going to be, we're going to put new ones in those openings.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're, it's just a small detail. It looks like they're actually slider windows.
They there's three of them, I think, and they all do this.
Tilts. Gotcha. Right? Gotcha. I see. Oh, I see. Yeah, there. I do.
In the nomination, there's Ed had some historic shots up from the inside of the windows. You can see how they function.
Yeah, yeah. And then my other question, even though I'm more just curious since you were talking about it, for the floor that's being removed. So are you cutting it back all the full length of the building, and so that there will not be any floor up against any windows
right.
after you're done? Okay. Yeah. That'll be,
and that will happen on really nice. Both sides of the building.
Yeah.
So there'll be a center floor that'll have the corridor, bathrooms, utilities, all the utility runs.
Yeah.
And then there'll be half on the upper level. There'll be that loft floor level going into each unit.
And then you'll just do new walls between the units.
Yes.
Yeah.
New walls.
Cool.
And there are a few wrinkles in there. There are two freight elevators that the units will have access to. So there we don't have a window, and so the corridor will have to be configured. Yeah. Elevator.
Well, I think these windows look really nice, and you did a really nice job of matching the original.
The color is so important. Anybody?
Any other questions or comments? Thank Mr. Sullivan for doing the math for me. I had written down the numbers. I was trying to. I thought that was 1.3 million. All right. If there's no more comments or questions, is there a motion to be entertained?
I'll make a motion.
Vice Chair.
I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission approve the application for 2916 to 2926 South Steel Street as submitted.
Is there a second? Commissioner Hilsendegger?
Second.
There is a motion before the commission. Is there any discussion on the motion before the commission? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of the motion, vote aye by raising your hand virtually or in real space. So on the screen we have, well, let's do the in-house first. So Vice Chair Pearson and Commissioner Bartoy have their hands raised. Do we have everyone here? And it's Commissioners McQuaid, Hilsendegger, Sullivan, and Rousseau online. I believe that's all voting commissioners this evening, so there are no nays nor abstentions, and the motion carries.
Thank you very much. Mr. Sullivan.
Exciting.
Appreciate it. Oh, let me get you. Thanks.
Permitting assumed this all should be done before winter. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. It's a lot of work. All the interior work too, or you mean just the windows?
Well, they get the window, get the envelope closed up. I'm not sure all the utility inside of that, but the envelope will be finished and the windows will be open. So
awesome. Just for future reference, that would be a cool tour.
Oh.
for the commission.
Are you taking note?
No.
No, no, not listening.
Thank you. Great. Thank future you. Tour for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
It's going to look pretty sweet.
It's going to be amazing. Thanks for the show and tell. That made it extra fun.
Next time you can bring a model boat.
Actually, could you bring a wall section, please? We need to see how many widths of brick thick that is.
Okay, moving on with board business. Do we have any equity committee updates?
Well, the only update I'll say is that we're really, really close to having a contract for our ERC grant, and we'll have more to report on that. But we've been slogging through the back and forth on contracts. So hopefully by maybe the next meeting, I'll have something to report out.
Bye.
What is that for?
Underrepresented Communities Grant is Black History.
Okay, events and activities.
So I just wanted to remind the commission that next Wednesday, the 21st at 4 p.m., the Astor, or the Washington Building, for the old school folks, there's a tour for the commission for those that can make it, and an owner representative will be present to lead people through the building and to answer questions. And so that's one of the great projects we have. You know, went through special tax valuation this last round. And it's, I think, kind of important, actually, because amidst all the other discussions we're having about preservation and policy, is this is a major housing project involving a historic building downtown, as will the Puget Sound or the National Realty building down the street will also have that. And so but it should be interesting. And the building was, you know, on our was under enforcement for neglect not too long ago. So this is a huge win. And you know, as Michael Sullivan was pointing out earlier, is this company is a major portfolio holder, and this is their first investment in Tacoma. So
also got one of our preservation awards.
It did. Mm-hmm. It did. And the other thing, we are doing future site visits scheduling. So we're going to be looking at the White Shield and the Tacoma Mall area of South of the Mall. And of course, the Willamette Casket building.
I just saw that. Very exciting.
Which, you know, I mean, honestly, the change that those windows are going to make in that building is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely enormous. They're super big. They're like boat sized windows, you know, like not boat windows, but size of boat. On Labor Day or right around Labor Day, there's going to be the Buffalo Soldiers Museum. There's an event there. There's a flyer, I think, in the packet. And then the last thing is, I think we have three outstanding folks that have not made the lunch selections for the training, the NAPC training, which means that if we haven't heard from you, we're going to pick for you. And if you're one of those people who eat anything, that's great. If you prefer to have like agency, you know, and then let us know if you haven't already done so.
If you don't pick, you get celery and saltines,
or you graham crackers and apple juice back like in the Daker days. We'd
like to know by 11 a.m. tomorrow, because that's when I have the meeting with the person with the catering. So.
So if you haven't let us know, or if you're not sure, just reach out to Paige, myself, or Susan by 11 tomorrow for your lunch selection. It's from Panera. Should I move on to the next thing?
We will move on to commission training, Mr.
Pignite. So things are just hopping right now. June 24th, Milgard Hall, room 311. If you go to Milgard Hall, we'll find you and get you in the right room. But this is the NAPC training that we have talked about. It only takes us, you know, 2 or 3 years to put together training. So, so we have, you know, we'll have several subject areas. They're outlined in the staff report along with the schedule for the day. It's cool because, you know, Milgard Hall, this commission did the design review on that. So it's a new building inside the campus, but it's also a cross-laminated timber building. Which is neat and just for its technology. And so I think it should be a good venue for the commission. And when you want to go outside and walk around, it's a nice place to do so as well. So looking forward to that. Hope the commission is looking forward to it too. This is through NIPC Camp Commission Assistance and Mentorship Program. And there's more information about that in the packet as well. There's only one other thing I wanted to bring up kind of off the under chair comments, or I can just take a moment at the end of the meeting.
We can go ahead if we're done with commission training.
Sure.
I just had a quick question about the training. Is that just for this commission, or are there other groups?
Just for this commission.
It's just us.
We've done it before in the past with other commission. We did a regional one once. We talked about maybe Pierce County and so forth, but it's just a lot simpler to dedicate it to this commission this time. And so as we get back into more events and more in-person things, like say maybe next year or something like that, we might talk about doing one more. Like a few years ago, we did one in Eastern Washington, one in Western Washington. Spokane sponsored one for the east side. We sponsored one for the west side, and they had a whole bunch of commissions from all over the west side of the state come to Tacoma. And we may do that again at some point. It was fun. And it's kind of cool to meet other people that are in the same boat as you.
So that was the one at the convention center.
Yes.
Are there any other questions from commissioners? I need to stick to meeting procedures because I see at 1:15 p.m. there'll be a discussion of everything I've done wrong. If I not stick to meeting procedures.
Yeah, we decided
the training.
So. We decided to call it that instead of the Kevin roast.
Thank you. Moving on to chair comments, I will cede my time to the good Mr. McKnight.
Well, the only thing I wanted to mention is just because I know that other people are, if I don't say it, people ask as well, is that on the June 20th council meeting, there is going to be what we call a council committee request resolution for consideration. that is going to direct the Planning Commission, the Landmarks Commission, to explore the necessity of, or the necessity or benefits of a proposed moratorium on local historic district combinations. And so what I think it's going to say is something like the commissions will do a public process and determine if something like that is necessary, and if so, what is the scope and schedule for it. And we don't have any other information. The CCR was a study session yesterday. And so it's scheduled for June 20th on council, and then we'll see what happens after that. I don't have anything else to add to that at this point. I guess there's a couple of things, though, that I can anticipate people will be wondering. Does that affect the status of things that are currently under consideration? The answer is legally no. So things that are under consideration could proceed just as they are. And so that's, I guess, an important factor on things come after that. Yes, they would be subject to the moratorium after the moratorium took effect. And I think in terms of process considerations, if the commissions, you know, through their public process, come back to council, make a recommendation to establish one, for example, it's just like, you know, for pretend for a minute, that's the outcome, then that would be a few months down the road by the time that resolution probably gets to council and something like that is enacted. So right now, sort of the exploratory phase is how I'd put it. It's probably, I believe, if you look in the council agenda next week, you can see a lot of the council language that is in that borrows from the Planning Commission, Landmarks Commission's recommendations as well regarding code updates, process improvements, and things like that. And so I can actually email it out. I know that Commissioner Kate asked me about it, so I sent over the study session packet. But just wanted to let everybody know that that's at council next week as a heads up, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, and you used an acronym, CCR, Mr. McKnight.
Council Committee Request.
Thank you.
It's a process by which city council members bring things forward to council.
So if the council passes this, sends it on to the Planning Commission and to this commission for some kind of discussion or review, then we would have that as an agenda item for discussion?
Correct. And what will happen is I'll have to work with the staff of Planning Commission and determine sort of what the review process looks like, if there's a hearing involved, you know, what's the scope of, you know, each commission's discussion, for example, those sorts of things. So it's coordinated. If it goes to the Planning Commission and then you know, through the Planning Commission to the Landmarks Commission comments, and then that goes back into the Planning Commission's, I don't know yet. So I don't need that.
Well, I practiced land use law for many, many, many years, and I've never heard of a city trying to impose a moratorium on itself. So it may be a very interesting discussion.
It's you know, we have had them from time to time. You know, I can think of, you know, some examples of land use permit moratoriums for certain things. The regulations weren't quite right, or something like that. And so the desire is to make those corrections for future applications. So we'll see. And, you know, and we'll see what this commission says. So,
yeah, they're just usually done for to impose them on private parties who would otherwise be entitled to a permit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not really entitled to have your neighborhood listed as a historic district. It's pretty discretionary with the city. So it, to me, it's the city is putting this moratorium on itself, which seems a little bit inside out, but like I say, we'll see what the council does and see if we end up having a discussion. You'll hear more from me again.
Commissioner Hilsendegger.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. McKnight, can you confirm, is the bill sponsored by Councilmember Rumba?
It was sponsored by Councilmember Rumba and Councilmember Hines, I believe.
Okay. Whose purview does it fall under to determine how long a moratorium would be in place for, the duration? Who makes that decision?
So I believe it would be City Council. I'm sure there's and I would defer to people who know better, and this is probably a conversation better for down the road when we know we actually have something that's real. But I would say that my initial answer is going to be City Council probably makes that determination. There's probably the request of the commissions will be to make a recommendation regarding the schedule for it. And so, you know, there'll be a milepost or end time that'll be identified as part of that. It won't just be like an open-ended moratorium or something like that. It's got to have a discrete and finite period of time. I think under probably governed by state law, actually, the you know, for the commissions to do whatever work needs to happen until the moratorium expires, and for the city council to make whatever amendments they want to make before, because it's really, I think, designed to allow for corrections to code or regulations or something like that to happen. And so it's, there's got to be a purpose for it. And so that's my best answer now. I can try to get back with a more thorough answer, but I believe it'll be city council sets it.
Right, any further questions? Hearing none, my only comment is thank you for the patience. I believe I was a minute or two late this evening, thanks to the wonderful traffic we have between here and the not so fair city to the north.
We'll cover that in meeting procedures of the training.
Yeah.
Yes, included in that. It takes over 2 hours to commute between these two cities. Lesson learned. Okay.
Bananas.
Thank you all. And I will adjourn the meeting for this evening.
Thank you.